Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are joining me today from wherever you're watching from, in the car, at work, getting ready, wherever you find yourself today. I'm so glad that you have chosen to tune in, take a few minutes, and let the Word of God do what it is designed to do in your life, and that's change you and transform you and make you better than you were. Well, man, we have been in a series in Mark chapter 1, and we are moving through this, but very slowly, all right? I said in the beginning, we call it verse-by-verse teaching, but sometimes we dive in, sometimes we skip some stuff, but we're hanging around the Gospel of Mark. And today we are continuing in Mark chapter 1. And we are looking at something incredibly powerful today, the authority of Jesus. See, yesterday we talked about how Jesus has authority over dullness of heart, right? He walks into a familiar synagogue service, opens the word, and the people become astonished because he teaches with such authority and not as the scribes. But Mark does not stop there. He shows us that the authority of Jesus is not only authority in teaching, it is authority over darkness and over demons and authority over sickness and authority over the natural world and the supernatural world. And I want to say this at the beginning, Jesus does not just announce authority, he demonstrates authority. And that matters, right? Somebody could, you know, run up to you in plain clothes and yell, "Hey, stop, I'm a police officer." And you're like, "Prove it," right? But until they pull out the badge, just because they pronounced authority, until they can demonstrate authority, there's a big difference there. Because authority has to be more than pronounced. It has to be proven. And Jesus proves it. He proves it in his words. He proves it over demons and disease. He proves it over sin. He proved it over death. And the good news for us today is that Jesus has not lost authority or decreased in authority. He's not weaker now than he was in Mark chapter 1. What does Hebrews 13:8 remind us? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So today we are not studying a past version of Jesus. We are beholding the living Christ, the one with all authority, the one who still saves, the one who still delivers, who still heals, who still sets the captives free. So today I want you to lean in, not with fear, not with religious curiosity, but with the spirit of faith. Why? Because when you see the authority of Jesus clearly, fear begins to lose its grip. Amen? So today's teaching, I'm calling authority over darkness and disease. So let's jump back to Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And we'll begin reading from there. And it says, "Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him.'" Now, come on, that is a powerful moment. And I want us to see what Mark is showing us here. He's showing us, number one, darkness recognizes real authority. Darkness recognizes real authority. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and suddenly his teaching is interrupted by a demonized man. The man cries out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" He says, "I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God." And now listen, on the surface, that sounds amazing. See, the religious leaders were unsure about Jesus. The crowds were still trying to figure him out. Even his disciples would still grow over time in their understanding. But the demons knew exactly who he was. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." That speaks of his humanity, the Holy One of God. That speaks of his divine identity. So listen, the demons recognized him. They knew his authority. They knew his mission. They were very afraid of him. That's why James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So demons believe and tremble. Why? Because they know Jesus has authority over them. They know their time is limited. They know their end is certain. They know the King has come. And this is important, listen, for the believer to understand. We don't need to be afraid of the devil. All we need to do is submit to Jesus. And listen, there is a big difference there. Some people are more devil conscious than Christ conscious. They talk more about what the enemy is doing than what Jesus has already done. They live consistently afraid, constantly anxious, constantly looking for demons behind every problem. But listen, the New Testament doesn't teach us to live obsessed with darkness. It teaches us to live submitted to God. What does James 4:7 say? "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, notice that order. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. See, your confidence is not in your volume. Your confidence isn't in your spiritual toughness, right? Your confidence is not in your personality. Your confidence is in Christ. And the thing is, listen, the devil's not afraid of you in yourself, but he is terrified of the one who lives in you. What does 1 John say? "He who is in you is greater than he who is in this world." So greater is he who is in you. And that is where your confidence comes from. I was listening to a podcast. I was talking about parenting, and they were talking about not negotiating with your children, and how sometimes it's, and I fall prey to this as well. You know, your kid asks you the same question, or you tell them to do something and they ignore you or refuse or start to argue with you. And what is our natural response at times is to turn around and say, yell and say, "What did I tell you to do?" Or if they're arguing with you, "Hey, I said, stop it." And this podcast was talking about how actually what that's doing is it's teaching your children that their arguing or their defiance, I don't want to say weaken you, I forget the word that they use, but will cause a rise out of you. It shows them that they have some level of control over you because what they do or what they say or how they respond can get you elevated and yelling and screaming or whatever, right? And the worst thing they said you can do is when you say no and the child begins to argue and but why is continually repeating no, or repeating no and then finally giving in. It's teaching them that mom or dad's no when they first said it wasn't final. So they were teaching that, you know, when you say no to your kids, it's just no. And if they continue to ask, A, either do not repeat yourself, or in a calm, controlled voice, respond and say, "I've already answered that question. Is there anything else I can help you with?" Now, listen, I'm still trying to put it into practice in real world situation, but we'll see. But I'm saying that to say is sometimes we think as believers that our tone, and I'm yelling and I'm binding the devil, that for some reason, that's where our authority is. But what does scripture say? In quietness and confidence is your strength. Right? So when I bind the devil or rebuke the devil or take authority over the enemy, I don't have to get worked up. I don't have to break a sweat. I bind it in Jesus' name, and my faith is in Jesus. My confidence is in Jesus. And because I'm confident, I don't have to repeat myself. I don't have to beg and plead. My confidence is in the name of Jesus. And if the name of Jesus works, then it's already a settled matter. Therefore, I will not revisit that attack again. I will not. Do you follow what I'm saying? There's a confidence there. And so Jesus has authority over darkness. And I belong to Jesus. Greater is he who is in me, so I will not live afraid. The second thing that Mark wants us to see is Jesus does not negotiate with darkness. Look how Jesus responds in Mark 1, verse 25. It says, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. That is all that Jesus says. Be quiet. Come out. There's no long conversation, no negotiation, no panic, no struggle, no fear. Jesus commands and the demon obeys. So why is this important? Because it shows us the authority of Jesus is absolute. Darkness does not get to debate him. Demons do not get to negotiate with him. Hell does not get a vote on when Jesus speaks. I want you to notice something else. Jesus does not allow the demons to testify about him. Later in the passage, Mark says, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Why would Jesus silence them if they were saying something true? Because Jesus does not need hell to be his publicity team. He does not receive testimony from unclean spirits. Truth spoken from the wrong source can still create confusion. Jesus is Lord. He does not need demonic endorsement to be that. Are you following today? And there is a lesson in that for us. Do not be impressed just because something sounds spiritual. Don't be impressed because someone uses religious language. Don't be impressed just because someone says the name of Jesus. But what does the scripture say? Test the Spirit. Stay in the Word. Follow the Holy Spirit. Because the enemy can disguise himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians says that. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So friends, this is why discernment matters. Not fear, but discernment. Believers should not be gullible. We should be grounded. We should know the word. We should know the voice of the shepherd. We should recognize what agrees with Christ and what does not. Jesus has authority over darkness. And he silences what is unclean. So what's the lesson in that for us today? So when darkness tries to speak over your life, don't entertain it. When fear speaks, don't negotiate with it. Answer with the word. When condemnation speaks, answer with the blood of Jesus. When temptation speaks, answer with what is written, just as Jesus did. When shame speaks, answer with the truth of who you are in Christ. Do not negotiate with what Jesus already defeated. You do not have to debate darkness when you are standing in the authority of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. You do not have to debate darkness when you are standing in the authority of Jesus. So then Mark moves on and begins to show us something else. Shows us that Jesus has authority over disease. Now, Mark moves from the synagogue to to the house. In verse 29, it says, now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. So Jesus leaves the synagogue, goes to Peter and Andrew's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And Luke tells us it was a high fever. She was bedridden at this point. And they tell Jesus about her. Listen, that's a powerful sentence. They tell Jesus about her. They told him about her. What is that? Friends, that is prayer. More than that, that's called intercessory prayer. Intercession means to stand in the gap and cover. So what did they do? They simply went to Jesus and told Jesus about her need. It's bringing someone else's need to Jesus. And listen, they did not pretend she was fine. They did not ignore the problem. They brought the need to the one who had authority. And Jesus comes to her. He takes her by the hand. He lifts her up, and immediately the fever leaves. There's no recovery period. There's no lingering weakness, no slow improvement, but immediately. The same Jesus who had authority in this synagogue. Oh, man, if we would get this today. The same Jesus who has authority in the church, the same Jesus who has authority over sickness and disease and demons is the same Jesus who has authority in the house, who has authority in your home. The same Jesus who had authority over demons has authority over diseases. The same Jesus who spoke with authority touches with compassion. I love that because think of it. Jesus is not only powerful, but he's personal. He does not just command from a distance, but he comes near. He takes her by the hand. He lifts her up. And that is the authority of Jesus. He has authority, but he's not harsh. He has power, but he's compassionate. He is Lord of all, but he comes near. And when Jesus touches her, the scripture says she is restored. And then Mark says she serves them. That is beautiful. Her response to being touched by Jesus was service. She used her restored strength to serve. Friends, that is a word for us. When Jesus touches your life, gratitude should move you into service. We do not serve to earn healing. We serve because we have been touched. We do not serve to earn forgiveness. We serve because we have been forgiven. We don't serve to earn love. We serve because we are loved. The best response to the mercy of Jesus is a life made available to him. So Jesus has touched my life. And my strength belongs to him. My gifts belong to him. My life is available to serve. So the fourth point that Mark makes here is bring the need to Jesus. Bring the need to Jesus and he'll fix it all. So after this, the news begins to spread. We see this in Mark 32 to 34. It says, that evening when the sun had set, they were brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So think of that. The whole city gathers at the door. People bring the sick. They bring the bound, they bring the hurting, they bring the desperate, and Jesus ministers to them. I want you to notice the faith in that. They brought them to Jesus. Friends, this is still what we do. We bring people to Jesus. We bring our families, We bring our children. We bring our friends. We bring our church. We bring the sick, the hurting, the bound. We bring ourselves to Jesus. Why? Because he has authority. Now, we don't always understand every detail of healing. We don't always understand every timing. We don't pretend to have all of the answers, but we know this. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we keep bringing needs to him. We do not stop praying. We do not stop believing. We do not stop asking. We keep standing on the word. We do not stop trusting his goodness. The people in Capernaum did not have everything figured out on who this Jesus was, but they had enough information to bring people to Jesus. And that's a good place to start. Bring the need, bring the pain, bring the fear to Jesus, bring the diagnosis to Jesus, the bondage, the family situation, bring it all to Jesus, bring the confusion to Jesus. Whatever it is, just bring it to him. What does the scripture say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me, not run from me, not hide from me or fix yourself first. Just come. That's the invitation. Mark keeps showing us the reaction of the people. They were astonished. They were amazed. They marveled. Why? Because they encountered the authority of Jesus. His teaching amazed them. His authority over demons amazed them. His power over sickness amazed them. So today I want to bring us back to the question. When was the last time you were amazed by Jesus? Not just thankful in a, you know, generic, general way, but amazed. Amazed that he saved you. Amazed that he visited you right now. Amazed that he still speaks. Amazed that he still answers prayers. Amazed that his name has authority, that his blood still cleanses, that his word still works. Amazed that his spirit still fills those who would ask. Amazed that he's still coming again. Sometimes we need to repent for becoming unimpressed with glory. We need to repent for becoming casual with Christ. Friends, because Jesus is not ordinary. He is not common. He is not merely a topic. He is the King. He is the Holy One of God. He is the Son of God, the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer. He is Lord. And when you truly encounter him, mild interest is not enough. A real encounter with Jesus awakens our awe. So today ask him, Lord, amaze me again. Open my eyes again. Let me see you clearly again. Let me not be more impressed by problems than I am by your power. I've been impressed by problems. I've been like, wow, that's impressive that all of this could go wrong on the same week at the same time. Maybe you've been there. And man, that's an impressive attack from the adversary. But let us not be more impressed by our problems than we are by his power. Let us not be more aware of darkness than we are of his authority. Let me not be more focused on sickness than I am on his compassion. Jesus has authority over demons, over disease, over sin, over death, over your past, over your future, over every name that tries to exalt itself above his name. What does Philippians 2 say? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Friends, today his name is still above every name. So lift your eyes today. Jesus is greater. He's greater than your problem. He's greater than your past. He's greater than your sickness. He's greater than your fear. So trust him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us in carrying this message. You know, today we have talked about the authority of Jesus, his authority to teach, to deliver, to heal, to save, and transform lives. And friends, listen, this is the message people need. They do not need more fear. They do not need more confusion. They do not need more hopelessness. They need Jesus. And through Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel, we are working to carry the message of Jesus into homes, onto screens, actually 255 million to be exact, through apps across every open door God gives us. And we do it because some of you have said, you know what, I want to stand with you and I want to become a Pioneer Media partner. And when you do, you're helping us proclaim the authority and goodness of Jesus to people. People who need hope. So if you want to prayerfully consider standing with us and helping us take this message to the four corners of the world, then head on over to ptnnow.com and become a monthly partner today. Your partnership helps us tell the story of Jesus every way possible. So thank you for standing with us. Now, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the authority of Christ. Thank you that Jesus has authority over darkness. Thank you that he has authority over disease. Thank you that he has authority over fear and shame and sin and death. And today, Father, whatever our need is, we bring it to you. We bring our needs to Jesus. We bring our families and our bodies and our minds and every burden we carry to Jesus. Lord, awaken faith in us. Restore all in us. Make us amazed by Jesus again. And where people are bound, let freedom come. Where people are sick right now in the name of Jesus, wherever they are, let healing virtue flow to them. Where people have grown weary, let strength be their portion today. Where people are afraid, let confidence in Christ rise. And today, for anyone watching who has never surrendered to Jesus, I pray that this moment they would come to him. And if that's you, just pray this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. I repent. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Forgive me, save me, make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. Now, remember, if you have prayed that prayer, go to PTN Now, click on the Know God tab. We want to put some free resources into your hand. And remember, listen, guys, if you have a prayer request, if you need somebody to stand with you in prayer, you need somebody to come alongside of you, we have an amazing prayer team who doesn't just take these prayers as a name coming through. We intercede. We talked about intercession today. We stand in the gap and we cover. We take those prayer requests before God. We pray. We petition. We fast. We believe. So let us stand with you. Let us pray with you. You can either text the word prayer to 717-500-3575 or go to our website, ptnnow.com, and you can find all of that information there. So thank you so much for being on with me today. I love our times together. Now remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.